You're listening to the Obesity Revolution. We're adding fact to fat. You can join the revolution. Follow the conversation and Sean's weight loss journey at theobesityrevolution.com. Now, here's Sean Mulroney.
Well, honestly, I think a lot of medical doctors are happy to see us come in because they know they're only going to have to spend about 5 minutes with us because it doesn't matter what we have, the common cold, the flu, whatever it is, they know the first thing they're going to tell us is, well, you know, if you lose weight, you'd be able to conquer these things a lot faster and wouldn't have these problems as much. And everything is diagnosed with the weight. The first thing they do whenever you go in there is they take your vitals and they weigh you on the scale.
Yep.
Yep. You know, so that's thrown in your face.
If you can, if they have a scale to fit you, that's going to weigh you.
And they tell you, you're just not compliant. They just feel like, okay, I'm done telling you this. We've already had this. I've actually had doctors tell me this. We've already had this conversation. Until you lose weight, there's nothing I can do for you.
What the? So just say, you suck, you're fat, sick, and you're dead.
Well, I got a torn meniscus right now with a lymphedema in my legs.
Right.
And the doctor said, well, I can't operate on that until you lose weight. Well, the problem with me losing weight is, yes, that's something I have to do. I will not deny that. That's something I need to work on. But a lot of my weight on my lower extremities is not fat.
Right.
It's from the lymphedema, which I'm constantly wrapping and fighting and doing what I can.
Yep.
People don't realize what you go through to try to fix this. But the thing is, I may never get to the point where this man can fix it. Well, so he says, oh, we'll just put a couple shots in there.
Yeah,
and maybe they'll feel better. Well, the shots don't work anymore. There's really no point in me even going to see him.
Right.
And that's all I get. No physical. They don't want to offer me any type of physical therapy, nothing, because they feel like, well, nobody's going to pay for it, and we're not going to do it because until you get this and do what needs to be done on your end, we can't help you.
Wow. Well, do you know Cam Ayala? Do you remember him? He was on the podcast.
I'm not sure. I haven't got far back, I don't think.
Okay, well, Cam, he was on The Bachelor, Bachelorette. I don't know if you remember, but he was a couple, I don't know what season it was, because I don't follow it, but I had Cam, he works for Lymphopress and for Med Solutions, and he helped me with, you know, getting my pump and stuff like that, my Lymphopod. Well, here's the thing. He is perfectly in great shape, okay? That's what he looks like. He has lymphedema himself. Well, did you know that on The Bachelorette... Now, think about this bias. On The Bachelorette, they would not... He told the Bachelorette that he had this, okay? Just because if he was going to get into a relationship, he wanted her to... Well, all of a sudden, guess what? The upheaval, he got voted off because of his lymphedema, okay? That's what happened. Well, they asked him to come back, like, you know, whatever in Paradise, Bachelor in Paradise. And he got asked back, and he wore a shirt. He said something about, you know, I have lymphedema or whatever, because they weren't going to give him anything to that because it was unjust or whatever. And they had it on there. They blanked it out.
Wow.
Yes. So watch this, okay? Cam has had all kinds of surgeries like you're talking about. I don't know how many. He just had a recent surgery. It was real bad because his legs and everything. But he has lymphedema, and his legs swell. He has to wrap, okay? But that's okay, is what I'm saying. And there's other ones that are... they're thin, but they have lymphedema. You know, there's this woman, Amy Rivera. She had her leg was about 4 to 5 times. She's so skinny, but her leg was 4 to 5 times had the size of her other leg.
Yeah.
And she had to wrap. But that's what I'm saying is that people don't understand. It's not just for fat people, because that's what I had every doctor that I went to see to say, oh, that's just fat. You lose weight, that will go away.
Well, why do they have it? For a fact, we didn't do anything to get the lymphedema.
What's that?
It's not our fault. We didn't do anything to get the lymphedema.
It's genetics, brother.
It's genetics. They think mine was, because there's different types, they think mine came from a surgery that I had that was botched and destroyed my lymph nodes.
Well, you it
back
probably
when
did.
I was in my 20s.
Well, but here's the thing, though. And the same thing with mine. Beginning, I got an infection back in 2000. But what's happening is something was wrong with our lymphatic system, because other people do that. If it destroys the lymph nodes, some doesn't. But there is something already doing it that's waiting to trigger it. You know, which is a whole other other thing that people don't talk about, because you're just fat. That's a fat man. You know, get rid of that. Oh, my goodness.
Well, and they don't take into account metabolism either.
No, that no, brother, not at no. The metabolic, you know, even the blood workout. And, you know, here's think about the weight biases here. I was talking to, a doctor the other day trying to figure out this stuff because I need to get a CAT scan and MRI. Well, there's no machines that big that I can fit in unless I go to the zoo.
Yeah.
Come on, Tom.
That's horrible.
Are you serious?
Oh, I know. I've had one. I know what it's like. In fact, they barely got me in it. And whenever they went to take me back out, the guy wouldn't listen. I was trying to yell. He almost took my shoulders off, trying to pull me back through.
But why? The thing is, why are we getting this stuff for the elephants and the rhinoceros and the big animals? Because, they're just animals. Well, that's what we're treating. We're treating subhuman and even sometimes, sub-animal, because they are okay to take care of, Ellie the elephant. Well, we know if she's pregnant or not. We know if Ryan the rhino, if he has a hernia, because we put him and gave him a CAT scan or an MRI because he can fit in it.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, just think about going to the doctor's office.
Yeah.
How many times have you been to the doctor's office and they didn't have a chair that fit you?
A million. Never. There's never been. I've never went to a doctor's office except a bariatric, place that had chairs that fit me.
Well, and even the bariatric place. I mean, God bless these people. They're trying to help people to lose weight. But I don't feel like they really empathize and understand either. After a while, they even treat you like you're not trying hard enough.
Right.
And if you can't lose this amount of weight, we can't do this surgery.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. But what if I can't get down to that? I'm here to, you're supposed to be helping me lose weight. But, and the thing is, you get frustrated because you do feel like, okay, why can't I do this? Why can't I get where I need to be to take that?
No.
And it's just, and we're faced with this, and everybody says, you walk around, you go to the mall, you go to the store, people will talk to you that you don't even know, and they'll be like, well, have you ever thought about gastric bypass? So that's my choice.
Right.
My choice is to get ripped open, have my stomach cut in half, and bypassed down into an intestine. That's a choice you think I need to take to fix my life. Well, excuse me, I think that's my right to say no to that.
Right.
And then people think that you won't do it. That means that you're not willing to do what it takes to lose the weight.
No,
I just don't want my stomach opened up and ripped apart and stapled. And I'm not slamming people that have done that, but that's a permanent solution.
Well, but
maybe, but not really, because I know people that have done it and they've gained all the weight right back.
Right. Well, here's how I look at it. I think that it's a solution, okay? I think that it shouldn't be the first resort.
Yeah.
Because I believe in medical intervention, okay? That's how it's been dealt to us, though, is that, because I will never slam, weight loss surgery, because some people are going to do
I'm
it.
I'm not that, slamming that, it. Please don't take me wrong.
No, I know you're not. I'm just saying that people on the outside do is that they say, okay, they look at it as that's the only option that we have. But then what we do is on the other side of it, we say, okay, well, I'm, to a point that, you start getting back and then, you think, well, I'm not, that bad. And you think about how many levels to where we've gotten to that I wish that they would, they went in reverse, Tom, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They didn't give us, like I said, real sustainable, reason to do that, that we're just there. But the thing that really breaks, that really chaps me is that a person that is normal size that can eat anybody out of house and home. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then they don't gain a pound you know, because they hit the genetic lottery. But why is there not a bias on that, that you're eating unhealthy regardless if you're 180 pounds or 680 pounds?
Yeah.
But we, it's already in the open. So, you know, that guy, man, look at him. He can eat, man. Do you see him eat? But then over us, man, you're disgusting, you fat slob. How can you eat that much?
Oh, I can't wait. You know, you go to a restaurant and I see people watching whatever I eat. Yeah. I darn well better get a salad and a water.
Tom, we you know what we should do? We should go to a you and I, we need to just go into a restaurant and just like film it.
Yeah.
And just have people, what they do and their reactions.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And because, you know, there was just recently, I believe you talked about this, that there was a recent survey that recognized that 90% of people recognize that weight biases exist.
Yeah.
90%.
Yep.
Now, come on, Tom. Are you serious?
Do you know why they know it? Because they were made to think about it. The problem is most of the time people don't think about it.
Wow.
They just react.
True. That's a good point. So on that, how about this? So that's really good reaction. It's a reactive, instead of being proactive, reactive. How about this statistic? 42% of adults have experienced weight bias.
Yeah.
42%.
Yeah.
Of us.
Yeah.
Well, I mean that's a high statistic.
Very high.
I mean. And what I think is the rest of them don't come out.
Well, yeah. I mean, anytime you do a survey, I mean, you know, you're getting probably just a touch of the top of the iceberg.
Right.
So, I mean, there's, you know.
Well.
But it's a difficult thing. And when people see a fat person in public, they automatically in their mind judge. They may not realize it because they don't think about it.
Yeah.
But they see them and they think a lot of times it's, oh, that poor soul. I'm glad I don't have to deal with that. Or they look at them like, you know, there's something wrong with them.
Right.
Why can't they, you know, oh, my gosh, man, that person must be just completely a loser, you know.
Right, right.
You know, they just can't get it and they're just going to be fat and they're just going to drain society.
Right.
They look at us in disgust.
They do. Well, speaking of disgust,
we may be wonderful people. They may be missing out.
They are
on an incredible personality that they're just going to let go by the wayside because all they see is the weight. It's very shallow.
Well, they're missing out on the great personality of a Sean Maroney and a Tom Hardy. That's what they're missing out on.
Well, you know, even in the movies, look at how they depict, you know, heavy people.
Right.
You know.
Well, it's always like, hey, well, remember on that Liar Liar with Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Remember, he goes by, hey, how you doing? He goes, you know, what's up? He goes, your weight's up, fatty. Remember?
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
Funny. It was like everybody laughs.
Yeah, and everybody laughs. You know, everybody, you know, rerun off of what's happening. You know, it's like they're, you know, Fat Albert. Hey. You know, it's always that one, to, you know, to pull that to where, hey, let's do this. There's the fat kid, you know. Or, you know, look at you know, whatchamacallit, what was I thinking of? Remember, what's that movie back in the day?
Well, there is only one movie that I've ever seen that actually addressed weight bias and the shallowness of it.
Is that the
But it was a
Wilbur
comedy.
Grapes?
No, Shallow Hal.
Yeah, that's right. Jack Black.
And you're thinking of What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Yes, remember his
where
mother?
Where addressed it, his mom passed away.
Yeah, because of being obese.
Yep.
Well, and I'm also thinking of, remember, what was the movie with River Phoenix was in it, you know, and they were kids and they found Stand By Me. Remember they had that to where they had that fat kid that you know, caused the barf-a-rama.
Yeah.
You remember, because they knew they were gonna make fun of him. You know, what was his
We're always the clown,
right?
Or the jester, or the people they make fun of,
right?
It's that character. The fat person is always the
Yep.
The person that's going to get made fun of, and it's always going to be brought up, and it's all, you know, it's just, it's pathetic.
Right. Well, his name under was Lard Ass. That's right.
Yeah.
Remember? And yep. So with the boom, bop, whenever he would walk. And then what he did is he took that castor oil, you know, and then ate and or whatever. He took something and then just went back and looked for revenge by doing that and, you know, caused a barf-a-rama. But that's what I'm saying. It's like the TV, you know, always that, you know, everybody wants to stand up for that. And listen, and I'm not, you know, putting down. There's a lot of, you know, there's black. But, you know, I wish we would catch up and quit being, you know, white privileged. And, you know, I mean, we've come a long way, but we still got a long way to go as yeah. far as discrimination and being, you know, absolutely. Racist and stuff. I get sick of that. You know, the same thing, like it goes all the way down, you know, to, you know, obesity. That's what we want to change, Tom.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's the revolution. It's like, okay, here where it is. And the obesity revolution, people like say, well, you don't want everybody to get fat. No, we want everybody to go against it, to say, we're taking a stand against this, and I'm not going to be biased against somebody. I'm going to find out who they really are, you know, what that person's going through. I'm going to learn some empathy. If I've never been here, I want to see what that's all about. And that's the cool thing that I see what we're yeah. doing is that we start crushing these biases.
Well, you know, and the weird thing, I'm going to mention a place where there's weight bias that maybe you would never have thought that it would happen.
Where?
The church.
Yeah. How so? And I agree. Tell me what you're thinking, though.
Well, I remember I was growing up, and there was a church that we went to.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have a lot of money. You know, we couldn't buy nice clothes. And it was hard to buy clothes for me because I was built like a barrel. I didn't have a, you know, belts didn't keep pants up on me very well.
Right, right.
But I liked to sing.
Right.
And I went up to sing, and then one time I was asked to do like a rap song. So I went up and did the rap song. I did not choose this rap song. It was a Christian rap song. And when I turned around and looked at the people in church, they were all just like staring at me like, what have you just done? And I got called in front of the board of elders.
Why?
And I was not very old. I can't remember how old I was. But for a long time, I didn't sing in church again for a very long time. In fact, I had a hard time going back to church. But they had me in front of the board of elders, and they said, well, we feel like you don't take pride in yourself. You don't take pride in the
serious?
Lord. Because when you get up there and sing, sometimes your shirt's coming out of your pants. Well, what they didn't understand was I had tucked my shirt
Come
and my
on,
pants.
Tom.
But because my belt wasn't holding my pants up very well while I was singing, the shirt would come out of the pants.
Come on.
You know, and I mean, I got blasted for that. They felt like, well, you don't really take care of your appearance. You know, your hair's not combed like it should be. And I feel like they never would have said that to somebody that was skinny.
No.
Never would have said that. And nobody stood up for me.
No.
Nobody stood up for me. Even people that knew me real well, that were a part of that board, they let
them
older
do it.
People steamroll over me. And what they did is they made me feel like I was just this horrible person. I remember my mom was so mad.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, these are the board of elders, and they decided what they decided, and they decided we were not going to let you sing anymore in church because until you can, you know, take a little more pride in yourself and your appearance. Well, I was wearing what clothes I could afford to wear.
I can't believe, are you, I mean.
Oh, yeah, it was a cranberry church, that's all I'm going to say.
Wow.
Absolutely.
I would have, I mean, or, Tom, do you know how disgusting that is? I mean, I know you know. I can't even put into words what I'm thinking right now.
Well, and they wonder why people that have the problem are so emotional. Well, it's because from the beginning, we felt like we didn't belong. We felt like, you know, we weren't good enough. And you start feeling that from a very early age. You have no validation from anybody. And mostly as a kid, that's what you're looking for is validation.
Absolutely.
Somebody
does. Yeah.
You know, and as you become an adult, I mean, that is a that really puts you behind the eight ball.
It does. It does.
And nobody understands that unless they've been through it.
Right. Well, that's what you said. Validate. We want affirmation. Yeah. That's the greatest thing you can do for a child is give them affirmation. So let's talk about think about that.
So that was real affirming of that board. Let me tell you.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to give them my size 13 up the rear end sideways, you know, and no lubrication. But the thing is what I'm talking about is
Thanks for that picture, by the way.
What's that?
Thanks for that mental picture, by the way.
Well, you're welcome. I thought you'd like that. But the thing here's where what gets me. So check this out. What these biases have done, okay? So we get them, you know, in the healthcare, right?
Right.
The media. Yep. Education at school, you know, we get it at the workplace and even at home and in our family, okay?
Yes.
So how you can't escape it to where you're right there. And even going to church now, you can't get away from it. And there is no way to find a way out of it. And somebody says, well, you just need to lose. Well, okay, well, tell me. You know, well, don't eat that food, you know, slapping it out, you know, chasing us around like the fat kid always, you know, taking the cake. And it got to stop, Tom. I mean, you know, what you just painted a picture to me is like, you know, now you're in church trying to find validation and affirmation, you know, and you're not even getting, you know, any kind there. And then, you know, at home, you know, people's home life right now that we're talking to are having that same thing. They have abandonment issues or they have abuse issues. And then they go to a church or they're trying to find, you know, a retreat. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to find, you know, an oasis or a haven, and they can't get anything. So our haven in a lot of ways become food. Or, you know, become recluse and then stuff is going on. But how, everybody enjoys food. Who doesn't like comfort food? But there's just has to be something down there that I'm not giving an excuse. I'm just saying an explanation to where my weight, it can't, you know, my weight, it soared after my, you know, I got my lymphedema, my infection in 2000. In 2004, when I went to the hospital for the first time in my life, I never had to be in a hospital overnight until 2004.
Yeah.
That's the only time, Tom. You know, it's just these biases to where, okay, you know, and then think of the effects. Okay, so you're talking about all those places.
Well, it's a lifetime. It's a lifetime of things that build up. And how can they not affect you?
Of course.
Can they not affect how you feel about yourself? You're asking somebody to learn how to love themselves that has had a lifetime of hurt, and that is a challenge. I know at 51 years old, I feel like I'm just starting to get there.
Wow.
But there's a lot of people that never do.
Right.
You know, and it's really hard because the problem doesn't go away. I remember getting counseled for marriage and being told, well, until you beat this, you really shouldn't get married. And they would sit there, they'd automatically assume there's something wrong with me because I'm overweight. Now, granted, there was something wrong. I was overweight. But did that not make me someone that could be married?
Speaking of which, to that effect, when I was in college, I was dating a girl, not Jess, and there was this teacher, and he took care of like the all the food and the lunch and stuff like that. So weird, but he told her that she shouldn't be dating, you know, obese people or fat people.
Yeah.
She said he has no character. That's what he said to her. And I told her, I said, well, you're going to believe that? I said, he goes, I know. I said, so why? And I mean, I'll tell you what, this guy, by the way, you know, it's like, I don't wish anybody ill, but that guy had some character issues. He did something that he shouldn't have done on his wife. And here he's pointing out a guy, me, overweight, I don't have any character issues. Well, dear sir, you don't have any character issues because you just stepped out on your wife there, Jack.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's, you know, it's like, why people think they can deflect and they make us look bad because, you know, the effects of weight biases, and we're, man, we got so much to cover, Tom. I mean, I'm glad we got through this. We're just going to, we're making this a series. Do you agree with me?
Sure.
Am I right? We have to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's just so much to this, and I, you know, I don't, you know, this is two episodes anyways, but this is part two, because we have to make this two episodes, 30-minute episodes. But, you know, the effects of weight bias is mental health, okay? Think about this. Depression, anxiety, low self-esteem, poor body image, and ashamed of appearance. How many times have you been there?
Yeah.
Huh?
Many times.
Many times. You know, and go down through the clothes, you know, thing, finding clothes. And I'm glad for king size. But, you know, you can't, you know, it's hard to find. You can't, hey, I left my shirt. You go out of town, you know what I mean? You forget a shirt or you forget your T-shirt or your underwear. You're not going to go to a store and find that stuff.
Well, most people can go to Walmart or wherever, correct, pick up a shirt like for $10.
Right.
We're not going to ever find a shirt for $10.
Never. Never,
it's
never,
not
ever.
Happen.
No. And so we have the mental health aspect. We're ashamed. And then physical health, okay? You know, which I don't know about you. I've never been a binge eater. That's never been my thing. Have you ever been a binge eater yourself?
Sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what would you classify as a binge eater?
When you just, I remember when I was younger especially, I would just eat candy and cake and whatever I could find that was sweet, and I'd eat a ton of it.
Yeah, but would you, I mean, like, but I look at a binge eater as just, and I know some that they just won't stop eating.
Oh, no, that's not me.
That's never been me. I mean, have I overindulged? Of course I have. You know, have I overeaten? Yeah. But I'm saying, like, binge eating, just like I got to have this. I've never eaten a whole pizza. You know, I've never, you know, ate a whole bag of chips. That's a small bag or like a medium, you know, small, one of those half, you know, bags of stuff or whatever that, you know, a little bit bigger. Binge eating's not for, I mean, and I know that happens, but, you know, even unhealthy weight, you know, control practices happen. And then we avoid physical activities because of weight biases, right? I mean,
yeah.
How many times we don't want to go somewhere because there's going to be some kind of physical activity. And, you know, even like kids, they, you know, remember when we were in school and you and I went to the same school, they had, you know, these things, these runs that you had to do. That, you know, they weren't fat friendly.
No.
And
well, would there be a place for you to sit?
No. No. That's what'd you say about a place to sit or whatever?
Yeah. Like if they're having a picnic or they're having a
get
together or a gathering or
that's
something.
That's a big one. That's,
you know, where am I going to sit?
Yeah,
you know, if they don't have a seat.
Well, two
things. Bring my own, I guess.
Well, but at the same time, I mean, I've heard people, how many, you know, chairs have I busted? You know what I'm saying? People don't want to have you over because of that. And I get that. I don't want to go someplace where I feel like I'm going to bust the furniture, you know, or there's no seating. But this all needs to change, Tom. I mean, we have to really roll up our sleeves. Am I correct in saying that? Would you agree?
I agree.
So we got, I mean, we're just going to make this a series, but, you know, that's what I'm going to talk about. If you struggle with weight loss biases, any aspect, reach out to us.
Absolutely.
Join our free group. You know, we have Facebook, the Obesity Revolution Support Group. You'll get support. Everybody shares their story. We'll encourage you. Nobody's allowed in there to blast anybody.
Yes.
Go to the Obesity Revolution website. You know, theobesityrevolution.com. And we will be there for you. El Tomo will be there for you. Sean, I'll be there for you. We will encourage you and get you through any bias. And you say it, but like I said, we're not victims, right, Tom? We're not going to sit soaking sour.
Nope.
We got to do something about this. We have to execute. and change these things. But while we're changing these things, we need to change us and figure out that self-love is important, that lifting each other up, that encouragement, that support. All of those things are important.
Yes.
And Tom, we have their back, right?
Absolutely.
I have your back, Tom.
Absolutely.
And you have mine.
Absolutely.
So as far as this is concerned, we're gonna, the revolution is yours. And on the other side, if you've never struggled and you're listening to this, you come across this podcast, if you ever, you know, never struggled with, you know, obesity or never been overweight, why don't you give us a chance?
Yeah.
Why don't you quit the biases and quit assuming, because we're creating awareness and we're killing the assumptions.
Put yourself in our shoes.
That's right. Empathy. Have that empathy, because Tom and I have sympathy because we've been there.
Yes.
But sympathy is what builds the bridge. Empathy, like you all that never been there, is what's going to get us over the bridge. So,
yes.
Until next time, on behalf of El Tomo, myself, and the obesity revolution, get healthy, stay healthy, and you really are the best part of the obesity revolution. We love you, and have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Obesity Revolution. Now it's your time to join the revolution. You can follow Sean's weight loss journey and get coached by trainer extraordinaire Brandon Glore at theobesityrevolution.com.